Let's bow every head and close every eye. Center our hearts on the reason we're here. Father God, it is so good to come before you today, every day, but especially now when we celebrate the arrival of our salvation through your gift of your Son. Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful time this is, only to be surpassed by the next coming of your Son. We wait, and we hope and we pray. We look forward to that day. Only by your grace and your tender mercy, and not of our own, do we deserve this salvation. But by faith, we who are not of, were not of your flock are accepted. Lord, we're mindful of all the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, the disease, and the death in our congregation and in our world. But we know that by the gift of your Savior, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor, that one day all this will be abolished and it will be nothing but glory and honor and praise to be sung day and day in your kingdom. For that we give you eternal thanks and praise and look forward to that day. We ask all this in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.
I'll be reading Luke 2, chapter 2, 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Mandy read the scripture reading, and I was talking to Mandy, and she's real nervous right now, going, "Oh no, what's he going to say?" I was talking to Mandy before the service, and I told her that yesterday Lynn and I put up our Christmas tree and decorated it, and when I got in the box, the bulbs, there was a great big red bulb and in real nice gold lettering. It said, "Just say Merry Christmas." And I looked at the bottom of it, and it says, "Given to us by Matt and Mandy Stormont, I think in 2006, is what it said. So I told her that. I said I had kind of forgotten about it, but I like "Just Say." Mandy said, "You know, that year you said that." And she said, "It just hit me." She said, "Now it's my favorite thing to do is tell people Merry Christmas." And you go, girl. Yeah. I said, "Mandy, that was just my annual rant." She said, "I know, but I was paying attention." It's kind of scary to think somebody was paying attention, you know. You just never know when that might happen. Well, as I share about Christmas, it's obviously a very familiar story to you, and I think that there's a lot of misinformation about it. There's a lot of things that we think are true that aren't scriptural about, like what the innkeeper said and how many wise men there were and those kinds of things. And I was thinking about that, and I was looking at some stuff, and I read a story of a man who was traveling around Christmas time, and he went to a hotel. And he went up to the desk clerk, and the clerk said, "I'm sorry, sir, but we're all full. There's no rooms available at all." And he says, "You have nothing." And she said, "No, we have no rooms available." He said, "Okay." He said, "Do you mean to tell me that if the President of the United States walked through those doors and came up here and needed a room, that you wouldn't have a room for him?" She said, "No, no, no." She said, "If the President of the United States walked through those doors and came up here," she said, there would be a room. We would make it happen." He said, "I have it on very good authority that he's not coming. I'll take his room." So you might try that next time the hotel's full that you go to. That didn't work for Joseph and Mary either, but anyway. I'm going to look at Luke chapter 2, the shepherd's story. Mandy just read it for us, so I'm not going to reread the whole thing, but you may want to turn there because I'm going to refer almost to each verse. We know the story. The shepherds are out doing their jobs. They're out in the fields taking care of the sheep. It's probably dark. They didn't have electricity then. They didn't know how to harness and use it. So, you know, when the power goes out around here, we go, wow, it's really, it had to be black. It had to be very, very dark. An angel appears to them, proclaims the birth of the Messiah. It had to be extremely bright. I mean, if you've seen the space shuttle go off at night, you know, it's like the sun coming up, it just gets incredibly bright. Or I think of just how annoying it is at night when people, at night, around here at 4 in the afternoon, when people come at you with their headlights on high beam instead of low. Or those new headlights, those things are really obnoxious, those blue ones that blind you even on low beam. The shepherds are, it's dark, and all of a sudden it's incredibly light, and they are absolutely terrified. They are absolutely scared to death. And the first thing the angel says, don't be afraid, it's cool. I don't know if that helped or not, but at least he said that to them. Tells them that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, just right over there. They can't help but go and see. So they do that. They go see, and they find a newborn baby just as they were told. And then they go and tell as well. They couldn't hold back. And folks, it's impossible, I think, for us to get in the mindset, but these are Jewish men. Okay? They've been told since birth that the Messiah would come. They had been looking forward to that event all their lives. And for an angel to show up in the middle of an incredibly dark night in this miraculous, scary way, tells them, don't be afraid, says, the Messiah is over there in Bethlehem. You'll find the baby lying in a manger. And they go and find that. They are beside themselves. And so they go throughout town and they tell people what they were told. They tell people what they have seen. They're amazed by all of that. And then they go back to their lives. They go back to their sheep and go back to work and to what they were doing. We know the story. I think as we look a little deeper, though, there's a lot of life lessons for us in all of that. And as I read through Luke 2, verses 8 through 20, a number of things that spoke to me. So I'll share them with you. One lesson that I see in this, and obviously the major point is the Messiah was born. The major point is that God gave to us salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate in this season, that our Savior was born. Lots of other lessons to go with that, though. The first one that I see is that whatever your job is, do it well. Be responsible. In verse 8, they were out in the fields tending their sheep, taking care of the flocks. They were just doing their jobs. However tedious they were, however low the pay was, they're just being responsible in taking care of their jobs. The sheep that they were tending, Jerusalem was only 5 miles away. Those sheep may very well have been sheep that were being raised for sacrifices at the temple. Well, how significant was that? So their job is very important. Those shepherds were not thought very highly of at all. Whatever your job is, if God has placed you in that position, you need to do it well. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You carry his name as a Christian. You need to be a great example to those all around you. And be very responsible and do your job well. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And Colossians 3:17 echoes that thought. We don't necessarily work just for our employer. We work for God. Okay? We're to be examples to others around us. We're to do our jobs well and be responsible. The shepherds were certainly doing that night. A second lesson I see here is that everyone matters to God. The angel appears to them. They're scared to death. But they were chosen to receive this announcement of the Savior's birth. Dennis mentioned at the start of the service, these are shepherds. In the social pecking order in Israel, the only ones really below shepherds were lepers. And lepers were total outcasts. The shepherds were kind of outcasts just by their jobs because they were out in the fields, taking care of the sheep. They're out away from everybody because they stink too. Shepherds were not trusted at all. They weren't considered trustworthy at all. Just because they're away from home a lot, and they're out doing whatever. They weren't allowed to testify in court. if your job was a shepherd, your testimony wasn't accepted. You just were not considered trustworthy at all. You know, in our society, they were maybe one step above congressmen. I mean, you know, they were not respected. They were not, these are not the guys that you want your sister to date, okay? They were not well accepted at all. But God chose them to make this announcement that his son had been born in Bethlehem. Everyone matters to God. And there could be a lot of other reasons why he chose the shepherds. But they were excited. You know, they were just thrilled with this message. And so they go and they share that with everyone. You matter to God. I love 1 Peter 4:10. And the context is a little different. But Peter says there, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in his various forms. And that tells me you matter to God. And however you are gifted, however God has wired you, however he's put you together, there's a reason for that. And there are gifts and abilities that you have to touch other people's lives. Peter says, use those gifts and abilities to serve other people. Faithfully administering God's grace in all its various forms. See, there's not just one way of doing things. I mean, God's really creative. There's a lot of ways to touch people's hearts. There's a lot of ways to make a difference in people's lives. And you matter to God to do that, just as the shepherds matter to him as well. A third lesson I see here is that when God intervenes, we need not fear. They're out on a very black night. An angel appears. The whole place becomes incredibly bright. And they were terrified. And the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. One night, it was a number of years ago, and I don't remember the time. It was the middle of the night, and I was awakened by a very weird noise, and it got louder and louder. And all of a sudden, the bed, and we don't have curtains up because we're out here in the middle of nowhere and really don't need them. All of a sudden, the room filled with a whole bunch of light, and there's this really crazy noise. And I looked up, and it was either reactor lifeline was about to land in my bedroom. You know, they were headed right at us. And our whole bedroom was lit up. And I just kind of woke up and went, hey, land over there. You know, they were headed to the park. But it was just the whole room lit up. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. They're awful low. What are they looking in here for? Anyway, kind of relate to that. You know, the incredibly bright light appears all of a sudden. And the shepherds were terrified. But God was making an announcement. God was intervening in their lives. He was telling them something incredibly special. The angel said, don't be afraid. There was no need to fear. When God intervenes in our lives, sometimes we get really afraid. But for the shepherds, God had the best news ever. And oftentimes for us, God has very good news as well. Rather than being terrified, I think we just need to listen well to what God is trying to say to us. And sometimes we see God intervene in our lives in the circumstances we don't think are that great. They may even be considered terrible. But I think as we listen well to what God is saying to us and then follow him, staying receptive to what he has to teach us, we need not fear. When God intervenes in our lives, it's not to punish, it's not for bad things. It's for his glory and for good. And the message that the angel gave is the fourth thing that I see here, is that the gospel is for everyone. In verse 10, he says, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. He says, this message is an incredible message. This is good stuff. You're going to like this. The gospel, the good news is really for all people. It includes everyone. Folks, there's nobody that the gospel doesn't apply to. There's nobody that it doesn't fit. Jesus died for everyone. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Guess what? You're all included. The world. Everybody. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to perish. The gospel, the good news is for everybody. The Savior is for everybody. I said, not my neighbor, that scumbag. Yes, it is. The gospel's for everyone. I may not know you're not your neighbor. He may be terrible. God loves him too. You need to learn to do that. The good news was for everyone. Not who we choose, who God chose. Jesus died for everyone. That's incredible news. A fifth lesson I see is that God keeps his word. In verses 11 through 14, he kind of gives a summary. He says, today in the town of David in Bethlehem, a Savior is born to you. He tells of what the sign would be, that the baby would be wrapped in cloths, and then the angels appear, a multitude of angels. They thought it was scary when one angel showed up. All of a sudden, there's more angels than stars in the sky, and they're all singing, you know? And I bet they weren't shy about it. It had to be an absolutely incredible scene. But the point is that God kept his word. There are literally dozens upon dozens of prophecies in the Old Testament that were very specific, predicting where the Messiah would be born, what would happen to him, how he would die, all of those kinds of things. And the point is pretty simple. Every one of those in minute detail came about exactly as had been prophesied. God kept his word in the first coming of Jesus. So why would we have any doubt that he won't keep his word in the second coming of the Lord? See, that's what celebrating Advent is really to be about. We celebrate his first coming knowing full well he's coming back again and that we have that to look forward to. It's incredible. He kept his word. He'll keep his word to you. He'll keep his word in Christ coming back again. The next lesson I see is that when God calls, our response really matters. In verses 15 and 16, it says that the angels left, and then the shepherds said, let's go see what's taken place. Their response really was immediate. They don't doubt what the angels said. It may be just because the presentation of the message was unquestionable. You know, when they all show up and the whole sky is lit up and they're terrified and you're standing face to face with the representative of God, maybe there was no reason to doubt. But how often are we given, you know, absolutely astounding evidence? And sometimes we doubt. They didn't doubt. They said, let's go see. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place. They weren't doubting at all that it had happened. And they didn't just sit around and talk about it either. They said, wow, how big do you think the baby really, you know? They didn't discuss all the details. They didn't form a committee. Thank you, God. They went. They responded. They got a message. They said, let's go see. That's incredible. And so they left and they went to see exactly what had taken place. God called and they moved. There was no complacency there at all. There was no apathy there at all. And going wasn't without risk. The sheep are out in the country by themselves. And the shepherds decide when the shepherds leave. Their job was to protect those sheep. And they left their job. It wasn't without risk. Maybe not to them, but certainly to the sheep. I think God just watched over the sheep. But God called, and they moved. They went. They responded. Our response matters to God. I don't think God wants to hear a busy signal when he calls. I don't think he wants call waiting when he calls. I don't think he wants voicemail when he calls. I think when he calls, he wants our response, our obedience, our heart. The next lesson I see is that the good news is not to be kept to ourselves. In verses 17 and 18, after they go and they see the baby and they meet Joseph and Mary and they say some incredible things, then they can't help themselves because they're Jewish and the Messiah has been born and they have seen him and they have to share that news. And I can't come up with a comparison that we could say to anybody that measures up. Everything I came up with was just silly. They can't not share. They have to go tell people that the Messiah has been born, that they have seen him, and the angels appeared, and we were told all this, and then we went and we saw him, and it was just like we were told. And then the people hearing it were amazed. And wait a minute, these are shepherds. They're shepherds. Did we believe them or not? But they were so convincing that the people that they told were absolutely amazed. They spread the word and people were amazed. The gospel, the good news, was never intended for us to keep it to ourselves. The shepherds wouldn't have dreamed of not telling everybody they ran into that night what had taken place and what they had seen. There's no way they couldn't share. Oh, that we would have that kind of passion to share Christ with others. In Matthew 28:19, we know it is a great commission. Jesus said, I've given you all power and authority in heaven and earth, therefore go. In Acts 1:8, after he ascended into heaven, the angel said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Witnesses talk. Witnesses don't keep stuff to themselves. The whole purpose of being a witness is to share what you know. And that's our purpose as well, to share what we know. I looked at verse 19, I think, a little different than I ever had. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary had had an angel visit her. She'd gone through the incredible risk culturally of having a baby prior to the marriage becoming official, just during engagement. She had received the love and the care of Joseph after he'd been told everything is okay. You know, they had to take that 80-some-odd-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and she was very pregnant as they traveled. And they didn't get in a comfortable car and drive either. Okay? And then the shepherds come and say just amazing things to Mary after she's had the baby. And she sat and she pondered and thought about all of that and thought how blessed she really was. But the way that I looked at it this time was that when we listen to God and when we respond to Him, it's a blessing to others. Joseph blessed Mary, certainly. The shepherds were blessing Mary, certainly. And obviously God was. But when we listen to God and we respond to what He's telling us, I think it blesses others as well. So we ought to listen well, and then we ought to visit others, and we ought to make the call, and we ought to encourage, and we ought to serve, and we ought to give, and we ought to cook, and we ought to do those things that we can do to be an encouragement, to be a blessing to others. And we ought to share the greatest news ever, that our Savior was born, and just say, Merry Christmas. And lastly, I see the lesson that encountering the Lord really changes us. The shepherds, after they'd been to Mary and told everybody they could find to tell, they went back out to that very dark field and made sure that the sheep were all there. And basically, they got on with their lives. But see how they were different? Because it says they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. They're so filled with praise, they can't not say it. You know, their hearts are full. They had encountered God. They had encountered the Messiah of God, and they were different from that point on, I think. We can't encounter the Lord and stay the same. If we do, that's an incredibly terrible level of apathy. To encounter God and stay the same. And see, that's the purpose of our gathering together on Sunday mornings, is you have to share and to shake hands and hug and encourage and smile and laugh and enjoy being together. But the greater purpose is to encounter God and worship. And when we do that, we can never leave the same. And we need to respond when that takes place. I think that's especially true of Christmas. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. And maybe on Easter too, because then we celebrate that He really is alive. There's lots of lessons there with the shepherds. Hopefully you see those as well and will apply them in your lives. We celebrate the first coming of the Lord, but I also again want to point you to the second coming. For a Savior's been born to you, but a Savior is coming back to you as well. In Romans 8:18, Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us when Jesus comes back." We can celebrate now, we can smile, we can say Merry Christmas. We have hope and assurance that Jesus is coming back. And the junk that we go through now can't be compared with how good it will be later on when Jesus comes back and that glory is revealed in us, because we'll be changed and made immortal too. In 1 Peter 1:13, Peter says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed." In Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago, we had a long discussion about just that verse. Preparing our minds for action. Just say Merry Christmas. Being self-controlled in so many ways. Setting our hope fully, not on that moment of unwrapping those gifts, no, on that moment when the greatest gift ever returns and comes back and we receive eternal life and are made immortal. We celebrate and we recognize His coming, His first coming, and the fact that He's coming back again. Let's respond well to that fact. Father, I hope that's what Christmas is about for us, spreading all around, all abroad, the honors of Christ's name, using Merry Christmas, using His name, because He's what it's about, in Your love that brought Him. So, Father, we just give You praise for that. Help us to share well. Help us to be like the shepherds, so excited we can't not share that we've been with the Messiah, that we've seen Him, that we know Him, that we want to share Him with others. Father, help us do that well. In Jesus' name, amen.